Game and Beasts for All Mankind. Welcome back to NASA Vending Machine. We're covering For All Mankind on Apple TV. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, on the Red Planet by none other than Jason Snell. Welcome back, Jason.
Yippee! I'm riding my motorcycle on Mars. Whee!
Surely nothing will go wrong. I actually thought there was going to be way more with that motorcycle than there was. We are back to talk Season 5, Episode 9 of For All Mankind, entitled Sons and Daughters, the penultimate episode of the season.
Yes, of the penultimate season, in fact.
Of the penultimate season, yeah. Which, in traditional For All Mankind fashion, really revs up that motorcycle to 11.
Yeah, yeah. This is, I mean, I think we got to say, kind of part one of a two-part season finale, essentially, right? Like, everything is being... They got the pedal to the floor now, however you do that on a motorcycle.
However you do that, Mars.
I don't know.
Throttle open to the
mm-hmm.
max.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have, I think, two main storylines in this episode.
Yeah. Mars and Titan.
Mars and Titan.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Should we divvy them up? I don't know.
Yeah,
let's
why don't we talk Titan first? What
happens? Yeah, I was gonna say
Titan's
short. Mm-hmm. There's not as much Titan. Yeah. All right. So, Kelly and crew are on the surface of Titan. They're driving their little rover over to find their robot, and they're having trouble finding it for reasons that is unclear.
Well, they can't. They don't have any GPS on Titan.
Right.
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 And so they're doing this thing. This is a real thing.
Inertial navigation.
Yeah, where they basically have to do inertial navigation, which means like they need to measure based on the inertia of their movement. They are kind of putting themselves on a map, but it's harder, right? It's going to be harder to navigate around there. But they do find it eventually.
They do find it. Yes. I enjoyed the exchange where I think Kelly or one of them says, I bet she never thought she'd see us again about the robot. Yeah. And Walt is like, it's a robot.
It's a robot. And they're like, come on. And they're like, okay. He's like, all right, I'm not going to be I'm Titan. I'm not going to be pedantic right now.
So they're all excited. They go out to retrieve the sample from the robot. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Kelly and our other, what's her name? I've forgotten her name. I wrote it somewhere else. Elena, I think, are like trying to figure out why it died.
Yeah. There's like stuff growing on the cables.
Yeah.
Like,
there's stuff growing on the installation. So they don't know what that's about. They get the sample and they're analyzing it. They hear back from Sojourner, where they've left their last crew member, and says, well, you know what? I haven't heard from Mars in a while, and we kind of need to know how we're getting out of here. So Mars, that'd be great. Nothing to worry about there.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the results from whether or not there are life are still inconclusive. Which leaves matters up to Kelly to decide. Unsurprisingly, she decides that they're going to stay. Elena has theorized that the original material that was retrieved could have fallen down from the top of one of these hills.
Yeah,
and that they're going to need to climb up them. So they get into climbing mode. They've got a whole, like, you know, belaying and carabiners all set up. Elena's climbing up there. She mentions that she sees glowing liquid coming from a fissure, but she's not sure if it's actually glowing or something else is going on there. Unfortunately, she goes over to check it out, and the axe that she's using, like to ice axe style thing, punctures her suit,
mm-hmm.
and it starts to burn.
Yes, right, because it's very very cold, so this is like an ice burn happening here.
Or there's also something going on with the atmosphere. I don't know, but it seems bad.
Yeah.
So Kelly goes up to get her. And while she's trying to lower down, she also sees the fissure, which we get to see, which is kind of glowing weirdly. What's that about? I guess we'll find out next week.
That's it. That's our
that's
whole
it.
Story.
That's so, Titan.
So there's it's good space adventuring stuff on Titan, reminding me the primary reason that I watch the show is that I like this aspect of it where they're kind of pushing the boundaries. If I have a criticism of this season, I think it is that they decided they would mostly just stay on Mars and do Mars intrigue, which we're about to get to. There's a lot of it. And I got to be honest, I think it's less interesting than exploring new places. And so, I feel like this Titan stuff just reminds me about stuff that I like better on For All Mankind than the rest of it.
I like the I like the politics and the intrigue. Maybe that's more my speed, but I do enjoy that they're pushing the boundaries of the solar system, and I'm curious to know, like, is this life? If so, what is it? What are the implications of that? I assume those are the things we are possibly wrestling with in the final season, or maybe it's some other material that like is valuable. You know, we've been spending a lot of the season on iridium, but maybe there's something else there that will change, you know, the course everything. Of human maybe. Progress.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. But like anyway, I liked having the space exploration in here and the dangers of that alongside the dangers of basically a military operation on Mars, which is the other half of, or other three quarters of this episode.
Back on Mars, to speak of, Lily and Alex have decided now is a great time to go for a bike ride.
Yep.
Showing off the motorcycle that Dev gave Alex earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. But they are witness to, I thought, a kind of real spooky scene where all the marine dropships are coming in through the fog and the clouds of Mars and the glowing engines, but they're really quiet and they're kind of like landing all over the place. There are a lot of ships.
Mm-hmm.
We get a brief look inside one of them with our pals, Haskell and AJ, and she is looking like a stone-cold killer in this shot.
Yep.
Man, she's not happy.
No. No, because when we left her, her sergeant had his head blown off by the shrapnel from the Goldilocks sabotage.
Yeah, so we'll discuss the implications of that, too, shortly. Alex and Lily come back to warn people they're already starting to barricade. Miles comes on the PA and announces this is happening and fighting's already broken out, and he's called for people to come and help with the fighting at various places. The power goes out and the emergency backup kicks in as the Marines take over the reactors and knock out our folk singing reactor guy from the other week.
Sorry, buddy.
We get AJ talking about how angry she is that they killed her sergeant and she is on the warpath. We learn the Marines are heading probably ultimately to Moxie, and no surprise there.
Yeah.
Lily and Alex meet up with some of the other people of the Happy Valley Corps. They're basically like, oh, you've got a camera. You're media.
Document the
congratulations.
Crimes.
Film everything.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to need to hand out weapons. It's a good thing Alex got that training that you, I think, specifically called out as well. They're hanging there. That's literally, why don't you train with Chekhov's gun?
I do enjoy that the first thing he does is like, I don't really know what to do with this. And everyone's like, whoa, point that at the ground.
Put your finger on the trigger. Yeah.
I think just off screen, somebody says to him, just treat it like a lightsaber, which I thought was actually, I mean, sort of, but also no.
Yeah.
So they are, as they are getting their bearings, the Marines show up and are, I think that's, I can't remember what his name either was, but that was one of our bad leader guy, right? Who was the overly excited leader guy that Miles replaced.
They just kill him.
They kill him. He is dead immediately, which I got some rules of engagement questions on that one, but sure.
Well, I think this is it, is that there are visible weapons probably there. But
he's got a gun, but he's saying, hold on, don't shoot, and they just take him out.
What this episode suggests, and we can talk about whether this is realistic or not, but what this episode suggests is that the military people, because it's M6, right? So it's from all sorts of different countries, that at least some of them are not really concerned about killing people on Mars. Like, they're okay with it. Like, I think it suggests to me, and this is useful because it amps up the drama and the blood, you know, the bloodbath, the body count of this, that they're indiscriminately shooting to a certain extent. They're not being really careful. They do collect some prisoners, but you get the sense that they're also okay if they just shoot people.
Yeah, they are not coming off great here.
No.
Boyd comes in with her little team, and they basically get everybody out.
Mm-hmm. Alex.
Except Alex, who has to hide behind some boxes after several other people that we kind of like, secondary characters, get shot.
Yeah. Alex knows, because he's played a lot of video games, that the secret is hide behind a crate.
Always hide behind a crate.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically bulletproof.
Yeah.
The Marines are going through the base. AJ kills someone at some point and looks perhaps a little shaken about it.
More of a fight is a line in here that I thought
yeah,
was...
expected more of a fight. Uh-huh. Yep. I had this note here, which I wrote to myself. Haskell is with her and is, you know, later on being used for his sort of knowledge of Mars. I had to wonder, like, doesn't he have to know that some of these people could be his parents or his friends?
I think
he left here. He doesn't. You don't see a lot of that in this episode because they are just shooting people from a distance. And again, as we said, indiscriminately, I have to assume he realizes there is a possibility that he could be thrust into, like, basically killing somebody, possibly his family, if not friends. More on which we'll get to later. But
I have questions about the guy from Mars being equipped with weaponry and dropped down on an attack on Mars. That the superiors might say, "We've got this guy. He has knowledge of the geography." Also, not listened to later in this episode. Maybe just having him be one of the grunts who's going down a corridor shooting people is not either way a good use of him. A good use of his knowledge, and also you're putting him in a situation where he may end up not being.
Endangering himself or his you know fellow troops.
Yeah.
But you know, economy of characters happening there a little bit. Alex.
Alex gets to use his important medical skills.
Yes. Yeah. He. I note that he should not be. He comes out of hiding and he's kind of wandering around, loosely holding the gun. I was like, dude, if they're shooting people with weapons, I would get rid of the weapon or put it away.
Seriously.
So Ronnie, who is one of our other council members, is still alive. Alex basically patches her up with some duct tape and basically gets her off to the med bay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in a second. Palmer shows up and basically captures Boyd and Lily and their crew. Fred's there, too.
Fred's
lived this long.
Boo.
This is the moment I have to laugh is when Palmer says they're under the Geneva Convention, which is... feels very much in opposition to what we just talked about with the Marines indiscriminately killing people.
But as we will find out, and as Palmer will especially find out in a little bit, the Palmer and his gang are not the Marines.
No, they're
behaving
cops, the leftover cops
under a different kind of regime because they're coordinating and they're on the same side and all that, but they're not. He yells at Lily, by the way, and says, you started all this. But my favorite moment in this entire thing is there's a moment where Fred, our old friend and the betrayer, it's Boyd's former partner who betrayed her and was involved in the framing of Lee for the killing
killed
of the other
Lee.
Guy.
Yeah.
he says, "Are you okay? You doing okay?" And my eyes were rolling so hard at that moment, and her response is priceless, which is basically she says what I was saying out loud at the same time, which is to tell him to F off.
Yeah.
It's like, Fred, you don't get to be my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, you put us in this position, essentially.
He's still
this all
playing
started.
I'm just a nice guy who's going along with these people because that's what I need to do, and you should be with us and all that. And she's just like, get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. That guy.
Palmer also takes Lily's camera, which will be important in a few moments. Mm. Chekhov has a camera in this episode as well as a gun.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if Chekhov had lived later, he would have put a camera on the mantelpiece.
Alex has saved Ronnie's life in the med bay. Dima says they're running low on the medical supplies, but Alex realizes that Helios still has all of their supplies because they've been basically, you know, battened down since all this began. And he's going to go and get the supplies from Helios because he can sneak through the base. And has one of my favorite lines in this episode where he tells Dima, you know, hey, there's like I used to sneak through all the vents and everything in the tunnels in the base when I was a kid. And Dima looks at him and goes, "You're still a kid."
Yeah.
Which I thought was, I mean, it's a touching moment when you remember Dima delivered him, right?
Him.
Like, he has known him his entire life. And he is very, you know, I think we played up Dev's bond with Alex, but I really kind of love Dima. He's a kind of understated secondary character, but like, he's like, run around here and goes, like, I was not prepared to do, you know, triage for battle here.
And they're running out of everything. And Alex, like, Alex is who wants to be a healer, and he also has that connection with Dev, and he's like, I can use my connection with Dev to get stuff. Yeah. So let's I'm going to do that.
The Marines are set up to blow a door, which seems risky on a thing in space, but sure.
Oh, I think you're skipping over another important bit here.
Well, this is leads to the where they capture a bunch of people, including Polivanov.
Yeah, but so before that is when Palmer decides
Palmer talks to Lily about Miles
to reveal at this juncture that Miles got off scot-free after the riots, not because he was tortured, but because he ratted out his buddies.
Which we knew was going to come again. This was set up earlier in the season where Miles met with Palmer and they talked a little bit about that.
He's trying to use this leverage, how does that work out for him? And I think it's really funny because she's like basically tells him the same thing that Boyd tells Fred, and he says, I don't care. You're going to pay for what you did, which is, I guess, leaking the secret plan.
He knows, or is at least confident that she was the one who leaked it. Although she has the exact right response in that moment,
which
she says,
about.
I don't know what you're talking about. So then the Marines blow off the door and go get and find Polivanov, who immediately surrenders. Like, I'm the governor. You guys can take me. And everybody else is like, you jerk.
Yeah.
Consummate politician here, playing all of the angles.
Yep.
Although you got to wonder, because he helped them fly a bomb onto the other part of Mars. Like, I don't know. I don't feel good about his prospects long term.
No. Although you never know. I mean, the alternative view is that he might get away with it.
He might. He is he's a slimy, slippery guy.
He's shifty. Yeah. Yeah.
Alex is sneaking through the vents and he comes out and he basically sees Palmer's team coming. So he goes back to hide in the vents as they're checking this room because he makes a noise and like the
telltale
peacekeepers are like
noise, you know, in the vents.
Yep. Checking it all out. Fred takes this opportunity to let Boyd and Lily go.
Yeah.
And just like, get out of here. Go. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, come on. You should go. And they, you know, they don't ask too many times, which is good.
I like this because I also was telling Fred to F off earlier, but like, it's very clear that he's conflicted, that he's on the side of Palmer, but he doesn't, it's this weird thing where it's like, but he respects Boyd and doesn't like the fact that they're in opposition and things have gotten really out of hand here. And I totally buy Fred in this moment.
Yeah.
Saying,
feeling guilty.
Just get out of here. I don't want to be the one responsible for this. Just get out. You run, and I'll say that you escaped or I lost track of you or whatever. But it's like, he doesn't... This is the most he can do. I was going to say it's the least he can do. It's not. It's the most he can do is just
Fred
let
is
them
like
go.
Your go-along-to-get-along guy. Like, I mean, he's feels guilty about all
he
this,
does.
As he should. And
yes.
Boyd was his partner, too, and I think that still has some meaning to him, even as he realizes how much he has screwed that up. Good timing to be let go as the Marines show up. And after a confusing exchange, kill all of the peacekeepers.
Yeah, because they don't have the secret password or anything, but they are on their side. And the Marines, are these the actual Marines? Are these the French? Or I don't even know who these are, but it's people with, you know, from the assault team. And they just kill all the peacekeepers who are on their side.
Yep, who are not trying to shoot them or anything.
Nope.
Or in fact, have their weapons, you know, like, whoa, we're on the same side.
I kind of love this scene because
it's
a very
bit fog of war kind of.
And you're playing, and this is for Palmer as the epitaph for Palmer. It's like, you're playing with fire here and you got burned. Yeah. And Fred too. I guess he had at least a final act of kindness before also being.
Yeah, I don't we definitely see
Marines.
Palmer's dead body. I wasn't sure
Fred
about Fred's, but I assumed
too,
he's
but
dead.
Whatever. Yeah. But and Alex sees it all, right?
Yeah, Alex sees it all, and after the dust and smoke clears, he comes out and of course finds Lily's camera, which has a broken screen, but did it record the whole thing? Of course it did.
Of course it did.
Haskell and AJ have taken their prisoners, and they meet up with some other Marines, and they're like, we got to go this way. And Haskell and Adrian are like, Haskell's like, nah, man, I know a better way. Let's go. And they don't want to listen to him.
It's not even, I know a better way. It's like,
you're going the wrong way.
You're supposed to go to this place. It's not that way. It's this way. And the response is like, hey, the Marzi says you're going the wrong way. It's like they don't care. And I like in that
they
moment
argue about orders.
Being a good soldier, he says, "This is FUBAR."
Yep. Yep.
And that leads her to say, "We're going back to our unit." And they're like, "No, you're coming with us." And they're like, "No, our instructions were to drop these people off and return, whether they were or not, and return to our CO. So we're going to do that." And it's basically like, "You're going to make me, I don't listen to you. You're not my CO. We're out of here."
Yeah.
But what she's really doing is engineering. Like, I don't want to be stuck with these incredibly dumb people
yeah,
who are going
right.
the
and
wrong
Haskell,
way.
I know Haskell. I trust him. He says, "We go this way, we go this way."
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, they go into the tunnels, which puts them on a collision course with Alex.
Yeah. This was, my note says, this was inevitable, right? This
yep.
entire, it's not just him coming back to Mars and seeing Alex, inevitable, right? And what happens next. But her coming to Mars, because yep. this is the inevitable meeting of the grandchildren of our two of our basically main characters from the beginning of the show. Right here.
Yeah. Yep.
Inevitable.
Who do have never met. Don't know anything yeah. about each other.
Also, Alex, when you're sneaking around and people have guns, don't just shine your bright flashlight everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. This is
you dummy.
Again, we've pointed out that he's not great at this. He also doesn't, you know, he's got his gun out, etc. I don't know. He's a kid. He's not making the best decisions
no.
here. He does get a shot off and, of course, shoots Haskell.
Shoots Haskell.
And, you know, basically realizes it's him, goes and tries to stabilize him. And AJ shows up and is like, "What the hell?" You know, and then realizes that Alex knows him.
Yeah. And Alex is trying to save his life. He's like, "We got to get this thing off of him. We need to put pressure on him," and all that. And she just sort of snapped to this isn't a trick. This is clearly they know each other and he's trying to do something here. I like that because that's a complicated moment, right? She could read that in some different ways. And what she doesn't do is read it in optionally the kind of unthinking,
stupid way, right?
Default
soldier approach. Get off, get away, get away. Yeah.
Like the people who are going the wrong direction or the people who shot Palmer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she is, and she's also not. I appreciated that even though the episode sets up her to be kind of blindly hating of the Mars faction, that does not override her sense in this moment, right? Because that'd be part of that is her like, "I hate that you killed my sergeant. I'm so mad about that. I don't care that you're trying to help him. I want revenge." And she doesn't do that, which also I think is a testament to this character because so much of the her concerns that we've seen earlier in the season with her is that she is, you know, following in the footsteps of her father
and
her uncle.
That's what I was going to say is that the other thing that's weighing on her when she's landing, it's not just the death of her sergeant. It's that this is the one place that she basically didn't want to go, which is she is going to where Danny shamed himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, guess what?
So, yeah, guess where they're going? They're going to go to Helios. And we get a last minute with, I thought, a great shot where Alex looks up into the camera outside the Helios compound and says, "Tell Dev to let us in right now." And then we cut to Dev looking impassive in his office.
And he's like, yeah, okay.
I guess so.
And that's it.
Where we end.
To be continued in the last exciting episode of For All Mankind. Lots of stuff goes down. A lot of characters, you know, thinking now, they introduced us to all those characters who we kind of don't remember who they are because they're like, "We got to kill some people in episode 9.
Kill some people. Yep. They've been around in the background for the last season.
I don't know where Arena is. Where's Arena? Was she in there with
Polivanov? But I don't think we see her there.
Maybe she's at Moxie.
Yeah, she might
with
be Aleta. Moxie, which,
a lot of
yeah,
lot
we
of
haven't
characters,
seen Aleta at
by,
all.
By the
yeah.
way, and I don't know about the budget and how they shoot this show and all of that, but I think it's also really interesting that Miles and Aleta and basically Moxie, they're not in this episode. Miles, we hear his voice, but like we never see him. We never see Aleta. There are a bunch of characters we never see. Arena, I think they're all in Moxie, and I don't know why. It's so stuffed.
There's a lot of stuff. I was gonna say there's already so much stuff in this episode. I don't think there's room for anything.
It's interesting that we have these key characters who are like, "We can't talk about that right now." But I think that what's happening is that the logical conclusion is that in episode 10, it's all gonna come to a head because you're gonna have the Titan mission that's trying to get in touch with Moxie, and you've got The Marines that are going to Moxie, and then whatever the heck Dev is going to do. There's obviously, this is the pressure cooker of episode 10.
I feel, I mean, in some ways, I'd be like, if that last episode isn't like at least an hour long, I don't know where they're going to do this all.
How exactly right.
I have some interesting theories, too, about where we're going. We talked about Titan a bit, but I think one interesting idea is that maybe the end of this show overall is about them finally. I would be not surprised to learn that the end of this show is them going off and leaving the solar system, basically.
Right.
Feels like where we're setting up to be. We've hit the outer reaches of the solar system.
It's like, yeah, maybe, this is how they become Star Trek, essentially.
Right, exactly.
I think
maybe something about the discoveries on Titan helps unlock.
Maybe. We should say, because sometimes we've talked about this, we're recording this episode having not seen episode 10. We most of this season has been us recording in 2-episode blocks way in advance with screeners. We are recording this episode about a week before it airs, and we haven't seen episode 10. It hasn't been offered to us. So we can speculate all we like, which is kind of nice because we don't know what happens. But I think you're right. I think the question is, like, do we get a better sense of what's on Titan? I agree with you. I think the suggestion is that it's a game changer and that that will be a thing that they'll be able to play somehow into a final season. I also wonder, and maybe we'll hear something about this with the producers after this season is ended. They'll do some post-season interviews. We did one last year where they talk about what their plans are for the last season. It wouldn't surprise me if the structure of the last season was even different and that they spent a little more time kind of fast forwarding to tell kind of like a bunch of future points, expanding the timeline a little bit. But it does feel like, and they've done this before where there's been kind of like scientific cliffhangers happening along with action and political cliffhangers.
Yeah. Like the asteroid and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters' fates up in the air
at
the end of this, right?
Everybody at Moxie, especially.
Everybody at Moxie. I mean, I'm fascinated by that one scene with Polivanov, because what is his role in either trying to defuse the situation or in trying to get his advantage? Right earlier in the season, we were talking about like him becoming the new premier of the Soviet Union, right? That was kind of in the offing. Is he going to parlay this into some sort of political success? And is that going to change the board? Miles, you know, at one point, I think he had been seen as the leader of this movement. But now that his secret is going to be potentially in the open, does that tarnish him and, you know, clear the way for somebody else to become maybe the leader of Mars? Does Mars get out of this in such a way that it has some sort of political autonomy? A big open question there. But I also feel like that's kind of what this has been building to. And then you have Dev, who we have spent a lot of time discussing and critiquing Dev's plan or lack thereof. We don't really get anything about that in this week's episode because we only get him in that last shot. But it kind of feels like his arc here has to come to a head in some way. I'm not sure it's going to be an entirely satisfactory arc, given our complaints about him earlier in the season. Mm. But, some of that may be dictated by how they land it.
I think Dev... Yeah, I don't think it's going to be satisfactory because I think that they haven't really
laid the groundwork for anything.
The only thing that I'm going to continue holding out is I do wonder if there is a Dev reveal that does not, in my opinion, justify his behavior over the last season, right? Like,
it'd be hard to do.
If he has a secret plan, I just think that it needs to be better telegraphed than it has been, better set up. But I'm going to hold out some hope that there's going to be a reveal that what Dev actually has not played all his cards, and that there's something else that he's got that might be able to solve something or change the balance of power in some way. I also, though, have this thought of, like, we get a lot of Dev and Alex. We get a lot of like Dev having these thoughts. He gets beat up. He barricades himself in his part of the base and all of that. Like, the other way this could go is Dev is forced to actually make a decision and get come down from the mountain and, you know, maybe ultimately make a sacrifice. I don't know.
I think Alex is the catalyst for that, right? I mean, that's the only real relationship of meaning. You know, he and Alita obviously have a relationship, but I don't think Alita really likes him. You know, he and Alex have this familial-ish relationship that we saw built up earlier in the season. So something about Alex in this situation, I think, is going to have to drive him to making a decision. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also wonder a little bit, you want to place any bets in the death pool?
Wow.
I feel like we have not seen, I feel like we haven't seen the last of some character deaths. I feel like we've set up some of this next generation, right? You know, with Alex and Lily and AJ kind of positioned to take over as the third generation of our characters and perhaps be more central to the next season. Most of our other characters have gotten to a point where they are too old, right? Like, we've killed Ed. We've essentially let Margot, rot in prison.
Well, we didn't. She did that to herself. But I'm going to go with what I just said and say, I'm going to just go and say, I think my big prediction is that Dev's not going to make it, and that some combination of Alita and or Alex will try. He will not get to see his vision of a city on Mars, but there will be a city on Mars, and it will be Alex who makes it happen, not Dev.
Yes.
That's going to be my prediction. Yeah.
I think there's a good possibility that Miles also does not get out of
this. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. The sign is on. How can the leader of the rebellion not get it here? I have a hard time seeing that Miles makes it out. Yeah.
I think there's a complicated, resolution there where maybe Lily has to deal with the fact that, like, her father was not exactly who she thought he was, but at the same time, he was trying to do the right thing, to a certain degree, his memory will need to be preserved. Like, and maybe she's got to keep her mouth shut. And, like, Palmer's dead. Nobody else knows, probably. Yeah. Like, so maybe it's like, I got to swallow this, the idea that my dad was perfect and he was flawed, but he also, ultimately was trying to do the right thing. So lots of emotions to process there in an episode.
Right. But I do think that the Titan people will make a discovery and get back. Although I think that another prediction that I'll make is that as they leave and get back, that's when it's revealed that Kelly sabotaged the ship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to set that up.
That's got to come out.
God, yeah, and she and Walt are going to have some kind of showdown there. Because there was a moment this episode where, like, Elena's like, commander, and they're both like, yes, and it's like, oh, sorry, new commander,
Right, right.
So that is hanging out there, yeah.
Right. Because she might end up having made this amazing discovery, but also be disgraced. That's definitely a possibility. And I imagine that we'll do another little fun fast forward a little bit at the end when all is said and done about where they're kind of taking us next. And again, I'll put some chips down on the idea of Dev's city actually happening, but in a different way somehow than
I think in order for this show to go where it needs to go, Mars needs to be shown as thriving.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's at risk here is Earth feels the need to keep this almost is like our way station to Star Trek as a brief stop in the Expanse where it's like, Mars needs to be its own thing to prove that humans really can thrive outside of Earth before we go off and explore the farther reaches of the galaxy.
Right. Right. I have a hard time imagining that this season ends with Happy Valley under the boot heel of the Marines and of the M6. But then again, they've got all the guns, so I'm not quite sure.
They do. I think it's that video, right? It's going to be shown that the Marines were just going around killing people, and it's going to put egg on the face of the leaders back on Earth, and it's going to force some sort of political change.
Right.
I think we already saw they hinted at like the unrest on back on Earth, and especially in the Soviet Union, because we're now well past our timeline's collapse of the Soviet Union, but it's intimated that it's starting to fracture there.
Yeah. I still wonder, like, I'm not sure if Polivanov makes it or not, but if he does make it, I see a scenario here where he comes
ushers
out of
in
this
the next generation
and maybe ends up as either governor of Mars, like, for realsies, or more likely president of Russia.
I think he's like Boris Yeltsin,
yeah.
Right? He's going to preside over the
with Arena kind of backing him. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be something.
Well, we'll find out. We got one episode left to go, yeah. And then one season after that.
Yeah. And, we're coming. And I'll say also, if the, and we'll talk about this more a little bit next time, but like, if there is a scenario where Polivanov ends up in an interesting trajectory, and especially if it's with the help of Arena, I will point out to everybody that next week is not just the final episode of this season of For All Mankind. It is the premiere of Star City, the spinoff. And if you don't think that they're going to make connections between the Russian characters on For All Mankind and the Russian characters on Star City, you should think again. And that's all I'll say for now. So enjoy that starting next week. And we will be covering
that here.
I
actually think it's two weeks. Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks?
No, oh, no, I think we're a week ahead. You're right.
I think it's a premiere. Yeah, I think it's premiering literally the same day as the finale.
Same day. Right. You're right.
I think they're dropping two episodes of Star City.
Yeah, you'll have a wealth of stuff to watch. The finale plus two episodes of Star City.
I think we're dropping three episodes next week, seriously. So that's going to be wild. Anyway, that's next week. We'll be back for episode 10, which we haven't seen. It's delightful. I love to be kept in the dark like that, but now I would like to watch that episode, please.
Yep.
We'll all have to wait a week, I guess. Yeah, that's it. We will be back for that and for three episodes probably of this podcast next week.
Get your fill.
But until then, one more time, dosvidanya, Dan.
Dosvidanya, Jason.